Warning, this podcast discusses addiction, mental health, and other sensitive topics. Please listen with care and take a break if needed. You are not alone, and support is available.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Malfunction Junction.
Thank you for joining us.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Jay.
How's everybody doing today? Jay, how are you doing today?
We're making it through the day, actually. Not too bad.
Making it through the day.
Finally making progress on things in life and getting shit taken care of.
Good.
So that's good.
Good. You fixed that tire of yours, or did you at the very least pump it up?
All right, don't ask me that on the fucking airwaves. You know, it's a... the light's on again. Who am I kidding? We'll be all right. How about you? How you doing?
We're hanging in there. It's been a hell of a week. We'll get to it on the clean but still a mess here in a little bit, but continued. It's just continued. If you were a listener last week, you're tuned in for the rest of the story this week, because it's ongoing. So yeah, that's where we're at here for me. It's been a hell of a week. This week's show, I figured. Dig into the listener box for one of these questions about a particular holiday to some.
Pertinent to this weekend.
Yes, pertinent to this weekend. That would be holiday to some, Easter.
Yeah.
Made up to others.
Oh, good Lord.
Anyway, that's not, maybe not to me, maybe not to me.
Nice disclaimer.
But some people think that it's made up. But no, we're talking about 420. It's on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
They're on the same day. He is risen. Yeah, he is.
He's getting real high.
Getting
up there.
Real risen today, dude. Risen.
You want to talk about a burning bush, baby?
Risen AF. Burning some bush. I'll be burning some bush that day. If you know what I'm talking about.
I don't know if I can say I'll be joining you in that, but...
Not that one. Anyway, a little distracted there. So we're talking about some marijuana. This episode is about 420, a little bit about marijuana.
Pot.
Pot.
Cannabis.
Reefer.
Actually, ganja, there we go.
There you go, one. That's a good one, okay.
Mary cool. Jane.
There you go.
I think I'm out again, that was all I had.
That was all you had, huh?
It's been too long since I smoked, dude. Maybe I smoked too much when I did, and I can't remember shit. I don't know.
I think it's probably a good thing you don't know all the terms of marijuana.
Just rattle off 42 in a row.
Yeah, that's probably not good for you. I imagine that means you smoked too much.
Mm-hmm. In too many places, too.
Yeah, too many
places.
Be able
to pick up that much slang.
Yeah. But anyway, so this is, we start out with our listener email segment. And this week's email... Mm-hmm. It says, "Hey guys, love the show. I was wondering if you could talk about cannabis addiction. I've always heard people say that it's not addictive, but I've noticed that I rely on it way more than I'd like to admit. How do you know when weed use crosses the line into addiction, and what does recovery from that even look like?"
Good question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, I personally... And I know Jay here, too, also has dealt with weed addiction in his days. And it's its own addiction. But an addiction nonetheless, and it shows up in its own different ways than other substances will. I think knowing where the line is of where it crosses into addiction is difficult, because I'm still a cannabis user,
right?
But it is nowhere near as detrimental to my life as it used to be.
Yep.
And it took getting into the point with that I could kind of live with it or live without it. But prior to that, I couldn't live without it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem. When you can't live without something that is something that you should be able to live without, other people can normally live without things like that. not everybody, but there you should be able to live normally without taking a substance.
Right. I think the big thing, too, is the sobriety aspect. If you have too many things going on in your mind with, be it anxiety or depression, and you're simply coping with it by covering it up consistently, that's a problem. And I think that for a lot of people, and I believe you kind of agree with me on this based on our past conversations, but that one of the main benefits of weed for certain demographics is that it alleviates the things they're going through enough to work on them. Not all dissimilar from the way a lot of like modern medications work. It's meant to be this kind of transitionary period of, well, I'm dealing with this constant stress. I feel like I can't function. This is the only thing that allows me to finally relax and then be able to, you know, process some of this stuff. The problem is that if it becomes to where you are constantly using and those things never get dealt with, and this is one of the things that I saw that kind of worried me about while I was using it, was having friends that I knew that were, you know, late 30s that had been smoking 10, 15 years and talking about how it was for anxiety and depression.
Well, and yeah, if you're like, still dealing with that after 10, 15 years, and we like, might not very be medicine, helping.
Right? That's not very good. We haven't done
like,
much.
That's like the problem I have with like, there. I mean, I don't have an issue with calling marijuana medicine, but I do have an issue was saying that it is inherently, that because of that, you cannot use it without it being medicine.
Right. I think it's whether or not it's used medicinally, right?
Well, it's whether or not it's used medicinally or whether or not it's used problematically.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's absolutely people that use cannabis totally problematically.
And right, we know not dissimilar from our view on like psychedelics, especially mushrooms, is that like you can have these very profound positive experiences in life, but incredible overuse is only going to dig you deeper into the hole you're in if you refuse to make change about the underlying issues, right?
Mm. We know a couple people in our circle that have some issues with weed stuff and I mean, substance in general, obviously, but like with some, I've seen some people that we know I'm seeing them. There are people that we know that smoke so much that they have to bring their dab rigs with them to the bar.
Right.
And you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And it's like you can't just. You can't just leave that.
Take a day off.
You can't just take it. Or hit the pen.
Mm-hmm.
Or just hit the grass or something, but you have to like bring your bong to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense to me personally. No.
And I think one of the things with those certain types of people that I take issue with the most, just as you know, concern from a place of love, and this is the way that I felt about myself. It's kind of what gave me a little bit of a wake up call, and I saw with my friends. Is simply that the awareness to a lot of the negative outcomes of repeated marijuana use is heavily diminished by people within the community, especially when it comes to things like the long-term damages to neurological function, to short-term memory, towards mood stability without it. And, you know, acknowledging those things is not saying that the substance is inherently bad or evil or can never be used in any circumstances. And we try very much here to not take an all or nothing approach to any substance, any type of behavioral issues. That's not our goal here, right? We're not psychiatrists. But understanding that there are inherent negative aspects if used in the wrong ways or used by the wrong groups of people, you know, this is important to making sure that we have stability in our lives, which I think, you know, we've both kind of started to find a way that works for us, right?
Right. And I mean, it's... I will say it's hard to, just for the listeners out there, it's hard to do an addiction podcast when you're not, and understanding that you're not perfect in this. It's not, and which I think we both recognize that in ourselves and each other too, that we're not perfect in this. It's just, this venture that we took on for ourselves in this podcast is really more to have time for us to talk about shit like this for ourselves rather than for anything else. And we're not perfect in this, but I think it's important to recognize that no one really is, And and the people that we talked about this last episode, where the people that are quote unquote perfect in this, the people that are not doing any substances, or the ones that, or at the very least, which by the way, those people are the ones that drink 9 cups of coffee every meeting. And that's not sober to me. Or smokes, you know, 3 packs of cigarettes a day. Mm-hmm. I mean, because look, my addictions have brought me places, but I'm not dying of lung cancer at 50.
Right.
You know, it's just, that's not.
I don't come with there, brother.
Well, I mean, I might, but I'm still not 50 yet. I'm not even 30, so we'll see how this goes. I may die of lung cancer at 50.
Yeah, and I think the big thing too about those types of people, and really anyone who has any addiction or crutch in life, is understanding the nature of the psychological aspects of repeated behavior. And this is something that's especially prevalent with marijuana, is that most of the stuff that classifies as substance use disorder is psychological addiction. It is the dependence, the inability to process mental without the use of said drug. This way, some of the statistics on it can be incredibly confusing and hard to read. So 30% of people roughly may develop cannabis use disorder. What classifies as this with this early on in terms of active treatment and isolated experiments is still very limited. And also because of the natural like biphasic properties of marijuana, whether it be through like anxiety, depression, stress, it essentially meaning
what
that...
What did you just say? Biphasic?
Yeah, so essentially what it means, or biphasic, essentially what it means is that in small doses, it can be very beneficial. And in a lot of studies, sure, shows sure. to be, you know, quite beneficial towards like anxiety, depression. In large doses, it does the exact opposite, and it can lead to a proclivity. But because we're so new in these studies, we have yet to see over the course of 10, 20 years with professional guidance, with making sure we isolate variables, that we actually know that weed is the cause of it. Is the reason that most people who smoke weed a lot have anxiety, is it because the weed, or do they smoke weed because they all have severe anxiety? And we just haven't gotten to a point yet of being able to isolate these variables to say for sure it's weed or it's not weed. Mm-hmm. What we do know is that there's a higher proclivity for mental illness, for psychotic episodes, especially in men, for high levels of depression, anxiety. And studies seem to show right now that in excessively high use, it tends to worsen these things. It does not tend to progress. And on a principal level, like we said, you know, it's if you're at a point where you can't go without it, there needs to be a serious reevaluation of what your harm reduction, mental treatment, what that looks like.
Right.
Because otherwise, what gets you out of there? You know, for me, I didn't have that plan. And I just kept smoking more and more and more. I became incredibly, I don't like using the word lazy, but apathetic rather. It was hard for me to get through my days. And I let a lot of things go because I had this contentment with things not working out for me. Mm. So for me, weed kind of eroded a lot of the consistency I had in life. At first, it seemed to help with that kind of stuff. You know, it alleviated it enough, but, you know, I kind of succumbed to the overuse of it. What was your experience with kind of going down the path of using it more? What do you think, like, the negative outcomes were for you in the parts of your life where you were overusing?
Well, at the time I began using was, you know, I was in high school. And at least like heavy use. And we've talked about this in the first couple episodes of this, but when I first began heavy using, it was during a time in my life where it was like a really, like a kind of a crucial time in my life where I shouldn't have been just taking a nap. Mm-hmm. But like I kind of fully lost myself. Hold on a second. This thing's flipping out. And we're back. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties, and we may end up having some technical difficulties on this episode as a whole. We will find out in post.
Never too far from trouble.
No. But yes, so anyway, we are, the question you asked me was, what was the question you asked me?
Essentially, what was your kind of negative experiences with marijuana overuse? I believe you started talking about, like, you know, when you were younger, when you first started, it was kind of at a period where it wasn't really beneficial to be taking naps and sleeping through shit. Yeah, well, which is very similar to my experience.
Also, I meant taking a nap as kind of a metaphor from the perspective of just like I was out to lunch for
I understand you.
For my junior and senior year of high school, right, when I needed to be kind of in crunch time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really kind of screwed up part of my life because of that. You know, not the whole thing, but like part of it definitely. And it made me go down a route that I'm still in now. I'm still in college because at age 29. Because I decided not to go back then, and I fucked up my chance to go back then, and it just, you know, if I fucked up a lot of things back then. But I think that I started to notice that there was issues when I had just completely noticed myself not caring about anything. And I think that it also had something to do with the fact of, again, that time when I started, of like, I already hardly cared about anything. And I already like hardly, I was so depressed. I hardly cared about my life in general. I was so depressed that I kind of just wanted to die. And, you know, that makes sense to, it makes sense to you in the moment as like someone who's suffering. But really, and that's like what cannabis like kind of cured for me at the time was that will to die. It kind of gave me at the time like this like appreciation for life. And I do kind of like at some level still give it that credit of like it gave me this appreciation for life at the time when I needed it.
I had a very similar experience.
Right, yeah.
Honestly, can you say, because this is the one thing I question, is I'll very much acknowledge and I'll use the word blame weed, but had I not had it, I don't know that the alternative outcome with the way I felt sober prior to it would have been any better. I don't know about for you, but I think without it, you know what I mean? It's like that, I was in the exact same spot. And if I didn't have that, can I say for sure that I would have, you know, put more time into school and not dropped out of college?
Right.
No, I don't think so. I don't think weed was the primary thing. I just think it maybe exacerbated the aspects that directly affected those types of things in life, right?
Right, and I think it's all about, like, I mean, also, for you, at that time in your life, you were, it was probably, again, a crunch time where you don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, maybe it's something you can use in the future,
mm-hmm,
but right now, it probably isn't, and it wasn't for the past few years. So, yeah, you know, it's probably, it's why you need to be, I think, in general, for people in their formative years, they probably shouldn't use.
I'm just gonna mention that too.
Weed,
yeah,
specifically.
Take the stance you shouldn't do it as a minor. Let your brain.
No, I mean, if you're a kid listening to this, which, for God's sakes, I hope not. But just take a break from it, dude. Take a break from. I think that can go from anyone. Take a break from it and see where that leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
If you are finding that you can't take a break, you may have a problem. If you're finding that life is better, you know, with weed, whatever, dude. Right, just like, I mean, it doesn't really, it's not too big of an issue to smoke. It's just where is your life while you're smoking, and is it better when you're not?
And how consistent it is. And one thing I'd like to mention, I think you fall more into this category than I do, Andrew, but right now we're talking heavily about the substance abuse, substance use disorder, the psychological aspects of marijuana. But when it comes to the actual plant, like I say, I think you're probably a little more educated on the individual compounds and different effects the plant can have based on its ratios of like THC to CBD, CBG content.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I think it's a good time to mention, since we've, you know, tried to make it very clear that we're huge supporters of harm reduction, is that if you're finding that weed has some benefits and some negative ones, and you're in a position similar to where we were, where without it, the alternative at that point is, I think I'm going to put a bullet in my head. And no, this is
just smoke the fucking weed.
Right. And understand that there are other options that will help you tune down some of the more negative side effects. Right.
Yeah.
There's a thousand different types, and just using the ones that have maybe a slightly lighter THC content and are kind of dissuading you from these incredibly spaced out or too high to function type of experiences, and pushing yourself towards ones like CBD, CBG, high terpene contents, that are actually assisting in your anxiety.
Yeah, but no, it's I think if you are a cannabis user out there that is listening to this, that is finding yourself troubled with the addiction aspect of it, or just questioning if you are addicted to it, just ask yourself if cannabis has taken over your life. Because it's not necessarily physically addictive. I think that's what this person was in the question was getting at. It's hard to tell when it crossed over into the line of addiction, because it's not quite like that heroin or it's alcohol where it's like you know when you're hooked on that type of shit.
Right.
And or at the very least, you know when things are going down the road. And with weed, it's hard to tell, because it's just like you just kind of like it's just something you're doing. And then now all of a sudden you feel like you can't live without it. And it is a psychological habit forming thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's necessary. It's not really physically, like, you won't have like actual withdrawal symptoms.
It depends on the
individual. You'll have like
maybe like sleep stuff.
Sure,
some of the shakiness.
Sure, different
legs,
and
like
withdrawal symptoms but like I guess like where this person kind of gets into it, like, what does recovery even from that even look like? You go into rehab for weed, and you will get some shit from the heroin addicts.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the truth, because they'll be like, oh, yeah, dealing with weed withdrawals, huh? Word. And they'll be screaming in their sleep at night because they're like, they can't fucking, they're just dying.
Yep.
of this heroin withdrawal or benzo withdrawal. Like, they can actually die from that one, like specifically benzos
and alcohol too.
Alcohol mm-hmm. too. But those are the only two. And but really, it is like any other recovery in my mind. You may find a varied way to use it responsibly,
mm-hmm.
but you also may just find that you have to give it up entirely.
Well, I think that's the part that blurs the lines on it, is that with weed, it's a little more, because it kind of lives in that gray area compared to some other drugs, it's heavily polarized. A lot of people that are in the medical or more traditional mindsets or like, it's, you know, devil's lettuce type. Absolutely not. It's always bad for you. Reef, no, madness, can't recommend, yeah, it. You know, and it's just extremely harsh. And then you get the other people that are like, oh man, it's just a plant, bro. Like, chill out, dude. Like, just smoke some weed. And so you get these people that are super anti-medicine, that refuse to acknowledge the negative components of it. And one thing I noticed that was really hard when trying to quit is that with a lot of people who I was around, they were abusing it, right? Smoking from sun up to sundown and then through the night, every single day, couldn't be sober. And when I was in the same place and I was like, dude, I got to start kind of cleaning this up, all of them, instead of being supportive and being like, dude, I understand, or all right, dude, I'll stop smoking in front of you, all of them took the route of being, well, I mean, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine, but I don't think it's bad for you. And they felt the need to defend themselves as if it was an attack on them.
Exactly that point. If they feel like it's an attack on them. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times, people take on, I mean, like, there's a whole weed persona.
Right.
And that's
exactly.
like there's a whole persona that people take on when people are potheads, for lack of a better term.
Well, and it's so much of your routine. Like all I used to do with my friends was smoke. Be like, so, hey, do you want to go down here and smoke? Do you want to go to the stairwell and smoke?
Dude, this place would be so sick to smoke at. Like,
pre-gaming, yeah, the pre-game to smoke again.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll meet up and go smoke at the park, and then we can drive down the Riverwalk and smoke a blunt, and then after that, we'll go back to my place and hit a bowl.
It's
all we did.
It's all we did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that is kind of... But it's your whole thing. It's your whole problem. Your whole thing with your friends. If that's all you're doing, if all you were doing was heroin, you'd have a problem with that.
Do you feel like part of your rehab was changing your relationships at all?
With everything.
You know. Yeah. Specifically with weed.
With people. With weed. With alcohol. Mm-hmm. With everything. It was changing my relationships with everything in myself too. It was changing my relationships with my relationship with myself. That was what rehab was about. And I think that if you get that from rehab in rehab, that this is about changing my relationship with myself, I think you can really benefit from treatment. And but if you go into it like this is for somebody else, or this is for going through the motions, yeah. If you're going in through it, going through the motions, just like, or you've been through it multiple times and you're going through the motions, like, I just got to do it to get my dad off my back or whatever it is.
Right.
Like, it's like, you are not going to figure this out, at least not this time, because it is you need to recognize that you are going into it to change your relationships as a whole.
One thing I want to ask you, when it came to, again, the more like the overuse or negative style of use periods with marijuana, do you feel like it gave you a false sense of connection with people at all? Because that was my experience. I felt like I had a lot of people around me that I, in the moment, thought I really enjoyed being around. And as I sobered up, I realized that all we did was smoke together. You know what I mean? It was just kind of this dependent community of the people I could find that would smoke with me. And I just had this, like, again, what felt like a false sense of connection with all these people. As soon as I, you know, stopped doing it, I was like, oh, we don't really have much in common. Like, we don't share much of our views in life.
I have a bunch of people like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not really anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of my friends nowadays are either friends I've been friends with my whole life, or people that I've met that are like, you know, the people that you make that are not just the friends you start with, starter pack friends.
Yeah.
They're the upgraded pack.
Got
friends,
it. You know? Like, you traded these ones.
Yeah,
boy.
And so it's they're better friends that they're easier to talk to about more complex things, and it's not just about like, oh, dude, this fucking strain got me so fucked up. It's just like, shut up. And it's my friends from when I was a kid, and I was in elementary, or not really high school really, those friends, and then like the first little bit of college, those are all my weed friends. And like, I'm not friends with anybody that that's not true. I'm friends with like two people from that period that I made friends with during that period.
Fair.
There's I maybe talk to them like once every 6 months, and it's not like an active friendship. And at least that's up until that's like 16 to 20. And during that time, like, I'm friends with and most of the people that I was friends with even before that, I'm not friends with anymore. Cause it's just like, you outgrow people. And sometimes people that don't grow up, you outgrow. And sometimes people think that they grew up and they outgrow you, and so they dump you by the side. But really, when you look back at their life, they ain't grown up at all. They've done a lot more regressing. But yeah, I guess, that's really all I have to say about that, is that I'll add on to what does recovery from weed even look like. I think it is finding why you are using it in the first place. And if it's to cover up something else, then you may have to deal with that other thing.
I think recovery ought to look like taking breaks, taking little tea breaks.
Sure.
Having those thoughts, reevaluating, your control over it and your ability to say, all right, I'm good today. And whether or not you're actually, like you said, but to be very specific, is whether or not you're making any quantitative or qualitative jumps in where your mental health or life struggles are. If you're working and you can't progress in work, and you're not making enough money, and you're spending too much money on it, you should be able to kick that habit, because you need to have priorities. And if it's not something that's able to fall on your priority list, then there's probably a dependency issue there.
And if you're not working and you're using it all the time, and you're checking, and you're asking other people for money so that you can support your habit, take a look in the mirror, dude.
Yeah, we would never.
Take a look in the mirror, dude. You need to figure some shit out.
I did that a lot.
I did that before. I've done that before too, but that kid that was, and so we're not like, take it if you're listening to this and that's you. We're not hating. It's been us too, but it's just like, it's don't good, don't man. Live like that. Don't live like that. It's go get a job.
Mm-hmm.
Go get a job. But anyway, we're going to get on with that.
The most exciting part of this podcast.
This is the headliner. This might as well be the name of our podcast. Clean, but still a mess.
Mm-hmm.
The name of the podcast is Malfunction Junction, though, and it will stay that way. Anyway, clean, but still a mess. I'll go ahead and start this week.
You have to.
Given that it is a continued from last week, the teacher tussle, as it was called. And just for the record, it was not an actual tussle. There was no physical fighting.
No, it was sexual.
That's not... There was no... There was never... There would be no chance of that. Not on my end. She's out of your league. Even if she... I'm out of her league. Holy shit, am I out of this chick's league. Anyway. So I had to do... To give anyone a recap that's just now joining us. I had a issue with my teacher who called me out in front of the class for doing something that five other students were doing, which was the homework for the class. She then, I responded fine, and then she eventually like tried to corner me in the hallway to get me to talk about it, and long story short, told her to fuck you, and after she told me I should drop out. So, yeah, that's what that was. And then, so this week we were dealing with, I had to meet with the dean and her over a Zoom call, and it was the most condescending, we'll just go with condescending. Yeah, condescending was the right word. They were certainly just assholes to me. They were trying, but with smiles on their faces and, like, nice about it. And they were, like, butt-fucking me, but they were hoping I'd be happy about it. That's really what it seemed like to me. And thankfully, my girlfriend was in the room on the Zoom call. Like, she was just sitting in the other room. And otherwise, I probably would have flown off the handle a couple times. Because it was just like, they would be like, oh, we know what you're going through. Shit like that. And it's just like, no, you don't.
Right.
You don't know anything. Well, like, was like, well, I've had some PTSD issues. And it's like, just having through my military background. And it's just like...
Did four years at Camp Pendleton in the U.S.
I've known this guy for 4 years, and I've never heard of any military background of his. What I imagine it is that he had military parents.
Either that, or he probably went into boot, did 4 years at a U.S. base, and then left the military after.
I mean, look, I'm not going to...
Thank for your service if that's what you did. But,
I mean, look...
To consider it like PTSD or qualifications for serving with it is not the same as somebody who's been active duty.
Absolutely.
It's not even
the same as someone like me who's been fucked up in the face with a knife. Like, it's like you don't, and by the way, also, I'm not going to, just because even if he does have PTSD, I'm not going to say, oh, I get what you're going through. Cause everyone's different. The way people handle things is entirely different. And so this person does not have any knowledge of what I'm going through, let alone do they have any knowledge of what just went on in the classroom and the way this teacher's been handling themselves. They're a complete unprofessional person. And they don't... And look, they're calling me out for being unprofessional. I'm not... I'm a student. I don't have to be professional. You're the one that's supposed to be professional, and you're not being professional. You're the one that's deflecting. You're the one that's, you know... saying that I'm the one that's be in the wrong here. You don't own up for your fucking part of this, you dumb, I love that you pay for this.
We gotta get video. You guys gotta see Andrew's face, don't.
It's like, it's so bad. But yeah, so that's where we're at. We're dealing. But I did win the battle. Yes, I won the battle. I lost the war. It seems, from the perspective of, well, I mean, I don't know. We'll
see. Maybe the other way around.
Might have been just a fucking draw. But the outcome of it was that I now do not have to go to class.
Right.
But I do have to do all of the assignments.
Which is still a win, right?
Like, kind of, but it's easier to do the fucking assignments in class.
It's understandable, but now you don't have to deal with that bullshit.
No, I don't have to deal with that bitch, but, like, I still have to fucking, like, I mean...
That's not what I said.
That's what I said.
Fair play.
That's what I said.
For the record.
It is what I said. And it's and I will stand by that statement. Anybody that wants to challenge me on that statement? malfunctionjunctionpodcast@gmail.com. But anyway. Yeah, no, so this it's absolutely mind-blowing that an educator, that the person that calls himself an educator can have the audacity to shut someone down that hard in education. As a leader. So, that was the teacher tussle continued. It may end coming up on and into next week. We'll see what happens. But, yeah.
Fair play.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I'll knock this one down.
Yeah.
Okay, mine is sleep is for the dead, dude. I've had to just accept for the first time in a while that sleep has to take a backseat priority as an adult. I wasn't ready for this.
Sometimes, yeah.
You know, the whole dream I had as a child was being able to sleep for 11 hours every day.
Oh, boy.
You know, that was the hope. That was where I thought
I'd
be.
That's not true.
No. And I always thought it would, you know, I'd have the flexibility to select that. And now, the older I get, the more I realize that it is whatever fits into the schedule. So, part of what I've been talking about the last couple of weeks, getting this apartment fixed up and, you know, dealing with all the bullshit with my property management group. And, you know, because the only time they can come, most days, is between, like, 10 and 1, and I go to bed at 6 or 7 o'clock. I'm like, no, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it then. I can't get up at fucking 10 o'clock. No. I got work at 2 o'clock. So I'm going to get 3.5 hours of sleep. I closed the bar the night before. How am I going to do that? Doesn't make sense. So I wait until they have 7 o'clock appointments, and then I just stay up. But the last couple times that they've supposed to have been come over, they had to reschedule because they had somebody take priority on the call. So they came much later in the day. So today I went to bed at 3 p.m.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I was just like, all right, well, I guess this is part of being an adult. Let me try and, you know, clean the apartment and do the things in the house while I can. But trying to function like that is brutal.
Ridiculous.
And so I am looking to get through this bullshit as fast as humanly possible. I feel... okay, I'm going to skip the political thing. I feel retarded, okay? Truthfully. I feel like I can't function. I feel like I can't think the same. My emotions are out of whack. I called my mom the other day.
Right.
God love her. I really love my mom. But for me to call my mom is like that's a life-changing moment right there.
Right,
there's got to be something going on. Because I don't even understand when I do it. There are just times when I guess subconsciously I go like, I need to talk to my mommy. You know,
sure.
I fucking call
her. Sure,
like,
yeah.
She's like, how are you doing? I'm like, it's okay. How are you doing? I'm fine. You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah, I've been so out of whack lately. And I feel like I'm going psychotic. But that seems to be, the more I talk to people, the more that seems to be the norm. You know, like, there's so many people I've met are like, yeah, dude, it sucks. Sometimes you just got to pull through the night. I'm like, I haven't done an all-nighter, but maybe 8 times in my entire life. You know, and it sucks every time. I always end up crashing in the next afternoon. I can never make it through a full day. The fact that there are people that just don't sleep and then still make it through a full work day and go to bed at a usual time, I don't understand that.
No.
I don't understand that. I'm like falling asleep sitting up. You know, I'm falling asleep while driving. So
that's not good.
No, it's not good. But we're going to work that shit out, get everything fixed up, and then we'll be back on the straight and narrow. Until we're not, until we hit another road bump.
Sweet. Well, yeah, that's pretty much life.
Yeah,
you start on the straight and narrow until you hit another road bump.
Yeah, when the fuck did they... Was that in class?
What?
Was that supposed to be in an elective or something? Did I miss the class where they talked about that? I thought, you worked reasonably hard, and then life is manageable. What's up with all the fucking speed bumps and goddamn detours? Nobody told me about this.
No, actually what happens is they have completely... You thought you were driving down the road, right? Mm-hmm. And then what happened was a construction crew came. They took the road, and then they came up to you. They took you out of your car, and they raped you. Yeah. That's life.
Well, I'm about to run over one of them and get charged with vehicular manslaughter. I'm kind of over this whole thing.
Okay. Well, they rape you in prison, too.
Oh.
Not as fun.
It's just butt rape everywhere. It's
just butt sex. as far as the eye can see.
Whether you go to college for film stuff.
Butt sex as far as the eye can see.
You're getting fucked one way or another. Yeah. Invest in a bottle of fucking Aeroglide. Astroglide.
Astroglide.
He knows.
Damn right.
Fantastic. All right, so this is a new segment for us, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
These are things we wish we knew during active addiction.
Truth.
Yeah, so this is, I think, going to be a really good segment because this is one of the most tangible things about what we've been through in our experience with substance abuse. And maybe, hopefully, we'll give some insight to those who are listening that maybe still be going through it or are struggling to not fall back into those ways. So, Andrew, I'll let you kick this off. You got a very good one here.
Yeah. So, something I wish I knew in active addiction being that failure isn't something that it can just happen. Failure isn't just something that can happen. It's something that absolutely will happen. I spent so much time not only being afraid to fail, but also being afraid to succeed. Change is the only constant in this dimension, which is the one we live in. So it's destructive to be afraid to fail, and even more destructive to be afraid to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
I like that one.
Right.
The one I have here is just that the clear end to my substance abuse is non-existent. I spent a lot of my time while there, you know, using alcohol and marijuana, expecting that I would eventually hit this culmination point and there'd be enough. And people would ask, you know, especially my family is very concerned, and they'd say, all right, well, when are you going to get clean? When are you going to stop drinking so much? When are you going to stop smoking so much? And my brother, who I love to death, he cuts to the bone with me. He would ask me that, and I would say, you know, I don't know. And in my mind, it was always that there would eventually be a day where it would just be enough. And the longer and longer that I stayed in those cycles, the more I had to accept the fact that that day was never coming. That there was never going to be a day where I was just like, oh, it's over, and then I'd be good again.
Yeah.
And I had the same thing with mental health, too, you know, of like expecting that one day it'll be okay. Like, I'm depressed now, but you know, I'll be fine one day. And right. I didn't know what it took to get there. So the point is, you know, make an actuated plan, where, you know, that gives you steps. Don't wait and hope that something's going to be around the corner that allows you to get your life back on track. Because especially if you're, you know, spiraling with certain types of abuse and substances, that clear day may be your last. You know, you may not have the opportunity to recover from it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, I think that was very well said. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. The clear end is non-existent. There's no end in your recovery ever. But there's no end in your use until you say it's time.
Mm-hmm.
That still hasn't come for me at some level but it only came for me with the one that was really harming me
mm-hmm.
when I, you know, found real love for myself.
Yeah.
And that was what it took to get to the point where I was like, okay, I want to stop trying to kill myself
mm-hmm.
by drinking myself to death.
And I think what you said goes hand in hand with this too, that like, you know, if you have this fear of change in either direction, it's going to keep you in that stagnant spot waiting for someone else to do it. Because if you're scared of success, as I've been too, the hope is always, right, and I'm sure you've experienced this, the hope is always that someone else is going to line it up for you.
Right.
That it's just going to fall into your lap.
Right.
It's like relationships, like being scared to ask somebody out. You just imagine that girl's going to walk up and ask you out one day. It's like, it doesn't work like that. You have to take that risk at some point or the other. And that's what leads you to the quote unquote clear end. It's not, it's a long and arduous process, but it's the only way out most of the time.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's about enough. Something I wish I knew an active addiction segment for this week.
We're going to workshop that name.
Yeah. We're going to workshop that name. Don't know what we'll go with.
We'll find something clever.
But this one is, this next one, a fan favorite, mm-hmm. I would imagine. Songs of the Week. You can go ahead and start with that one.
Okay, mine is Tanya by Brockhampton. This was a song when I was looking through my discography of stuff from a while back. I came across, very hard for me to explain this type of music without it sounding negative. It's one of those songs for me that's like kind of emotionally paralyzing. Like, it's just all my thoughts get shut down. I'm immediately back into like this stagnant kind of emotional state and just feeling I can't, you know, it feels like I don't really have the ability to control what's going on. But it's a very, very powerful song. Again, touches on the themes of addiction and a little bit about the kind of hopefulness about change in the future. Also talks about, you know, the loss of family, trauma, being separated from the people you love, hoping that, you know, your mom and dad are still looking down and things like this.
Sure.
Stuff that, you know, in many ways is very pertinent to the traumatic experience that I've had. So it's a very, very powerful song. It's also beautifully done. It's got a few very different parts to it, but absolutely fantastic. If you haven't listened to it, go check it out. It's called Tanya, T-O-N-Y-A.
Nice. Nice. Cool. Well, yeah, mine is Tanya by Brockhampton. That's yours?
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Mine is Greatest Hits by Sublime. And it's off their, I believe, 94 album, Robin the Hood. Mm-hmm. Great album. But great band as well. They're actually playing, well, I say they. It's not Bradley. Bradley died in 96 or whatever. But his son, Jacob Noel, is playing with Sublime at Red Rocks in a couple days, a couple weeks.
You been doing that?
Kind of. Over the past, like, year. Yeah, he's been taking over.
That's really cool.
He took over for Rome or whatever, whoever's playing for Bradley, obviously.
Mm-hmm. That's really sick.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Just let it live.
Heard.
That's how I feel. Don't, I mean, look, if you're going to do it, like, I don't know. Whatever, sir, it's sick. I like it. I guess.
Fair play.
I will see how good they are. I don't know how good he is. You know what I mean?
Got it.
Yeah, it's not about, like, it's not about the, as much the legacy of Sublime as it is the fact that he's not as good as Bradley.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, and of course, I've never seen him live, so I don't know. But, and I also don't know if he's better on record. He could be better just, he could just, you know, be getting fucked up on the stage and not be playing as good, because everything I've seen is he's not as good.
Got it.
But, who knows? Hope that show at Red Rocks, just down the street from here, is pretty good. I won't be there, but I'm sure people we know will be. We'll have to ask them. But anyway, the reason I chose this particular song, "Greatest Hits" by Sublime, it was because of the lyrics that I had wrote down here for you. The very first lyric of the song is "Wake up in the morning and it's hard to live."
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good one to learn. That's a relatable one. But the real one that I like here is, it's "Is this man making money? How I know it won't be no man and me. In my bed I watch TV. I'm drunk by noon and that's okay. I'll be president someday." Yeah, I like that because it's that I relate. I relate to that so much. Where you're just like, ah, fuck it. I'm gonna be the fucking king of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just like I remember that so much with like doing drugs back in the day. Where it's like, I'm gonna be fine someday. I'm gonna be famous. Whatever the fuck it is. Whatever. Like, I'm gonna be a filmmaker. Like, whatever it is. Like, it's like, in the drug addiction phase, it makes no sense because you're just a drug addict.
Yeah, these like illusions of grandeur.
Illusions of grandeur, yes, exactly. And it's just like, it doesn't make any logical sense. But to you it does, because you're like, no, I just got to get over this shit and I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. Like, just, and then, but I mean, realistically speaking, you just got to get over this shit and you will be fine.
Yeah, you'd be all right.
Yeah. Maybe not president.
You've met my little
Maybe
brother.
Not someone that's like, you know, but like, you can be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You get through. You've met my little brother.
Right.
Shout out, Benny. I love that little fucker.
Shout out, Ben.
He told me one time, Doug, we were talking, and he's like, I don't know if you're like this. He's like, but, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm a little retarded. Like, I can't function right. I feel really stupid, and I'm not sure if I'll ever get through this. And then other times I feel like I'm God. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm like the second Jesus. Do you
That's
know what I'm saying?
That's so funny, dude.
And I was like, yeah, be careful with that one, brother.
Like, that's so funny.
Keep an eye on that for you.
Keep an eye on that one.
But, ever gets yeah, I do know what you mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's so funny.
He brought it up out of nowhere. It made me laugh so hard.
That is hilarious. Yeah, that is fun. Yeah, well, those are our songs of the week for you guys. Mm-hmm. We will... Well, I would love to be able to play these songs on here, but I don't believe we're allowed to do that.
We got to figure out something. Maybe once we get the Instagram rolling, because Instagram, you can use some
of these
songs.
Yeah, maybe it's that. Maybe we can do that on there.
So we'll figure something out for you guys so you can have a little taste of the music without having to go fully out of your way for it.
Sure.
Get some cool clips.
Yeah. Well, that's about the end of our podcast for the week. We have a couple of mentions at the end here. First off, we are going to be coming up with that first episode of Trauma Bingo. That will be released here on all platforms sometime during the middle of the next week. Subsequent Trauma Bingo episodes will be released on Patreon, which will be launching sometime over the next week as well. The first 10 Patreon subscribers will get what kind of access, Jay?
Free.
Free access.
That means zero cost. It means you don't have to spend any money. You don't have to link up a credit card. Nothing.
Oh, you got. Well, you may have to link up a credit card.
You may have to link up
a
credit card.
I don't know that for sure. I don't know that for sure. But if you have a Patreon account, you might. Actually, I don't know. Patreon.
You may not have to.
I don't know.
Point is, it's not going to charge your fucking card.
We're not
going to
charge you any money.
F-R-E-E.
F-R-E-E. That spells free.
I don't know what that's from.
It's an old commercial.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
I like the way your shoulders moved there. It was cool.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, so yeah, free to the first 10 Patreon subscribers, and that'll get access to all Patreon offerings. After that first 10 listeners, we will have access to paid tiers, and we will start with $1 and go higher from there. And yeah, so we are also going to beginning to get our shit in order enough to have guests on. So if you or someone you know would make a good guest, please reach out to us at, that's up to you.
MalfunctionJunctionPodcast@gmail.com.
MalfunctionJunctionPodcast@gmail.com.
That's the one.
Yes. Or MalfunctionJunctionPodcast on Instagram with an at symbol.
Slide into our
first.
DMs.
Slide into our DMs so that we can slide into you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what?
Yep. Who said that?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we hope that you do reach out to us on that one. Someone that is good, that can be good on a podcast for us, because we could use your help.
Yes, and here's the thing: if you're in the larger Denver area, which Denver area? Greater Denver area, where we are located. You can swing on by and, you know, be one of our guests. If not, if you're too far away and you're like, man, I can't make that, then what you can do is you can reach out to us through email. You can still send us in your stories. You can send us in your questions. We haven't really done too many listener stories, if any, yet. So please send us in your experiences, your struggles. If you have something that's, you know, we can cover in a little 5 to 10 minute topic, even if it doesn't have any questions, if you're just looking to get something off your chest and want to send that in, send it our way. We'll talk about it a little bit. But if you can come in, you know, we'd love to have you here. You will be shoved into the closet, but that'll be all right. We'll make sure you're taken care of in there. There's food and water.
It's really hot in here. No, there's not. Well, we have food and water. That's not true. We do.
Not food. You have to bring your own food. We'll give you a bowl of water.
Yeah.
No cups.
No. You have my dog's bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll treat you like a kind of a human.
Like a king of a dog.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that has been enough. Again, the podcast Instagram is at MalfunctionJunctionPodcast, and the Gmail is MalfunctionJunctionPodcast@gmail.com. It's been real, y'all. We will be catching y'all again. Well, actually, this time in the middle of the week with that Trauma Bingo episode, and then following that every Saturday.
That's right. Stay classy. Don't get, you know, fucking too crazy on 420.
Or Bicycle Day, for that matter, because Bicycle Day is going to be, well, today. It's today, because it's that is being listened to. The day that this is going to be listened to and released, it's Bicycle Day.
Oh, so there's going to be some people that are listening to this in a very fun way.
Potentially, yes. Yes, yes, absolutely.
There's demons in your walls. There's demons in your
Jesus Christ.
Cool deal. Well, have fun. Be safe, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody.